5 volts, and definitely offset, you know, by 90 degrees one of the connectors, so that there's no chance of that going wrong. Still not hearing a consensus as to whether black needs to remain ground for the return, or if you will, the ground of the 5-volt system. Although I haven't heard anything that compels me not to want to make it black. And last but not least, I'm not hearing consensus on a color other than possibly blue. And I just threw out yellow as a second choice, but I'm kind of curious what people think. Because I think what I'm going to do, by the way, guys, is scratch out a little article on this and see what people think. I think it might be a fun thing to write on. I like to write on these subjects, as you know. And see if we get a consensus on, you know, something lower voltage. Because, like, for instance, I have a router here that's 12 volts. That's great. But I have other routers and other devices that are 5 volts. And I have no nice way to, you know, bus-wise get connectorization and get them squared away. So, the other thought I had was I'd make a few phone calls to, say, PowerWorks, a few other folks like that, to see what they've seen in their travels before we put something out there that might be, you know, causing problems for others who've already, if you will, solved this problem. Well, maybe they thought of things we hadn't thought of, but, you know, that's kind of where my head's at right now. Over. Question? Okay, there were two people. One with the word question goes first.
This is W2JEK. Is there any kind of code, electrical code, or anything for this kind of stuff? This says this is 5 volts. We'll use a green wire or a purple wire or whatever. I don't know. One thing that's part of it. One thing that my father did, we have several power supplies and several radios, and he used an octal plug, an octal, a female octal socket on the power supply. And the transmitter was using, this is talking about 12-type transmitters. We had putting one on the octal socket was ground, and then something else was 6 volts AC, another one was 12 volts AC for filaments. And then we had high voltage, and then high voltage regulated, and then there was another pin for another voltage that was to operate a relay. And so I had to standardize so that you could use different power supplies, because they had the same voltage. And that's how we used to set things up. I don't do that much now anymore. I still do it with some of the tubings, but my stuff here is all banana plug. With that, back to that, W2JK.
Yeah, well, you know, banana plugs are a good solution. You know, I don't know if you guys remember, any of you guys maybe VHF contested with me years ago or saw some of my gear. I had built rack boxes out of 5/4-inch ply, because they could put handles on the side, they could screw things in that were rack-mounted, they screw things in there that were not rack-mounted, etc. But one of the things that I did have in there as a power distribution, I took the ground bus bars that you'd commonly buy in electrical supply, and I would, you know, put two of them in there on standoffs, on insulated standoffs, made of ceramic, and I would spray a little red paint on one and black paint on the other, and that's where all the positive and negative connections went, in spray, entering that box. So, you know, just like the idea of my orange box now has a single red-black lead coming into it, and everything's distributed from the Anderson Power Pole bus that's inside, we use that same philosophy today that we, for that, as we had used years ago with the, with the basically the fuse box bus bars, that we would lay down two of them, as I say, one plus, one minus, and it worked great. So that worked really, really fine. So anybody else?
KC2, you on hitch?
Mr. Paul?
I actually found the wiring color code chart. Going for ATX power supplies and PCs. Yellow plus 12, red plus 5, orange plus 3.3, brown plus 3.3 with a cent, black, brown, green, power on, plus 5 volts for ground, gray, power good, plus 5 volts for ground, white, minus 5 volts, blue, minus 12 volts.
Okay, so just paying attention to the first two things you said. The red was plus 5 and the yellow was plus 12, is that correct?
Right.
Okay, you know the old phrase, Houston, we have a problem, right?
Okay.
However, blue was minus 12, did you say?
Googling it, over.
Jim Gant?
I just came up with the same, essentially the same table of colors by Googling for color coding for voltages, sorry.
Yeah, I had looked at that a while back myself, and it was distraught to find red was plus 5 and the yellow was plus 12. You know, no one told the computer geeks about automobiles.
KC2, you on hitch?
Paul, go ahead.
Yeah, there's another one here, plus 5 volts on a purple.
Well, and by one? Okay, so, let's see. Purple. My only question would be, how easy would it be to discern purple from red?
Looking on this chart, it's a horrendous purple. It's more like a purple into pink. So, pretty easy.
Bang. So, we get almost like a purple to pink, so it's like a weak red. And if we offset the connector 90 degrees, it would be a little brother to 12. Is that pretty much what we're saying here?
I think we have a winner. Back on that.
Think we do. And again, what was your source for that?
I'll send you the link. It's probably enet.net.
Yeah, I think that would work. That would be most excellent. Alrighty. That's outstanding. Anybody else have comments on it? Alrighty. Very good. Alright. Well, this has been pretty exciting. We got some stuff done tonight that we didn't expect to get done. We raised a topic, got a consensus, and an interim consensus. We can go see how the bigger population thinks about that. And I've got my Raspberry Pi talking and walking and chewing gum here. Next thing is to plug it into the internet and make the web browser work, which should be about another 5 seconds worth of effort. I'm going to take my... Let me take a pause here. Are there any other stations with comments on the subjects we've covered so far?
WTJC, I have a new question, Arf.
Yeah, okay, give me 1 second. We'll get to that in a second, Jim. Anybody else on subjects we are on or have covered so far? Okay, well, thank you. That's excellent. Paul, thank you very much for your little work and everybody else for theirs. And Don, the thought of an octal socket, I don't know, man. I get the banana plugs. I mean, I can totally resonate with that. I'm going to leave you guys with one other thing. I have a, whoopsie, where did I just drop it here? I have two of them. I have two of these power supplies. Actually, they're battery chargers for a variety of Kenwood batteries. EMS 42K charger. The original ones, they all came with a coaxial power connector on the back into which you jam 12 volts through a cable wart or a wall wart. Of course, I had adapted that to a cable that had gone off to an Anderson power pole. And one of the ones I have most recently, is center is the hot. But the original ones from Batteries of America were center negative. So what I did was, I made up a cable that is, in fact, negative. In fact, it even says a little label on the back, center negative. And what I did was I hit it with a dot of crazy glue and also put a knot in the cable just before the connector, just as a reminder that should that ever fall out, that one's different than all the others. And so, the dot of crazy glue kind of keeps it in and makes it not want to mess up. So, having an 18-inch pigtail goes to the power bus of a power pole, like a rig runner or something like that. And it works very, very well. All right. With that note, let's go on to Jim's question. WTJC, K2BAR.
K2BAR from WTJC. If anybody needs Octel plugs, I have a box of about 20 or 30. They're welcome to. My question was, I just got two Bofangs UV5Rs today on my front doorstep in a box from China. And I tried the software, and I Googled, and I found out information about the version of the driver. You can't use the new one. You have to use an older one. But it still says it's not talking to the radio. And I'm wondering if the software that's used to program the Wuxians will work with the Bofang, or...
Oh, let me end your misery now. The answer is no. I'm a little full of fear and trepidation because James has one of the new ones too, and he came with software, and I don't know whether or not the software that I have in it and the drivers are going to match. That's going to be entertaining too.
Yeah, apparently the programming cable has a little circuitry in the USB end of it, which does level conversion or something, and you have to use an older driver from that manufacturer if you're running on Windows 7, which I did. I went through all the troubles, and initially it looked like it was starting to transfer, and then it says failure to communicate, which many of us seem to have anyway. All right.
Interesting. By any chance, did you try writing first before reading?
No, because I didn't want to destroy what came with it, although it was nothing. The only one that matched anything around here was Teaneck.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I think you should try that. I seem to remember on my other ones that there were points where if I didn't write first, I couldn't do anything.
Well, I guess I could try that. I looked in the device manager, and it shows it's on COM4, and the Bofang software gives you a tab to click and set the COM, so I set it to COM4. But I haven't had a lot of luck with the serial ports this week.
I would imagine. That's interesting. I have not opened his up yet and tried to program it, but I live in fear and full trepidation of this eventuality of having to resolve this.
Well, I will say that it's a lot easier to program from the keyboard than the Wuxian seems to be. So, worst case, one could always do that. But it's a beautiful rig. I am glad that you told us about it at one of the meetings because I'm really impressed for $46. Wow.
Okay, let me remember, I do have some negatives on this radio, and some of which I've articulated on the air both before I wrote the article and subsequent to the article, so there's stuff that's not in there. So a couple of things to think about. Number one. Do not wear this on your hip every day. Put it in your pocket or put it in a place where it's not going to get abused. But it does not take much to dislocate the back end of the antenna connector from the board, in which case you are screwed. The other thing you can do to keep that from happening is use the factory antenna, you know, cinched down firmly on the chassis and make sure that that little nut that holds the connector in place is nice and tight. It stays that way. If you don't have the little pointy tool to make that work, use a pair of needle-nose pliers and just spin the connector real nice and tight. Make sure it's nice and tight and stays that way. You can also, after doing that, use one of those really heavy, you know, they're gold, but they're really, I think, pot metal plated with gold, BNC connectors that has a heavy shoulder that goes right down onto the radio. That would sturdy up that whole assembly a lot. Then you can add a BNC type of antenna, but don't get too greedy with a big heavy thing. But I have broken not one, but two radios with playing antenna games. And so that's not a good thing. So just do be aware of that. And take heed and to treat them with care. In fact, a letter to the distributor will go out electronically probably over the weekend or Monday, asking him what he wants me to do about it, because I'm not happy about that. I love the radio, and I totally agree with you on their thing, but you got to treat them with a little more mechanical care than you otherwise might think.
Thank you for the caveat. I appreciate that. I had not heard that before. I will say I love the audio. It's so sharp and crisp. Over.
Yeah, and the transmit audio is probably better than the radio I'm using. I'm using an old Delinco DR510. I can tell you that it sounds better than the DR510 does. Okay. Anybody else? Okie dokie. All right, so let me rock and roll here for a second on another subject. Number one, my Raspberry Pi is on the internet. I'm using the embedded web browser on the embedded little Linux implementation. I actually Googled UB5R software just to prove that I could do that. Well, the display I'm using is pathetic, but they have better display outputs. In fact, I have a USB output that I can use, not a USB, a HDMI interface that I can use in addition to the standard composite video, which is what I'm using right now. And some of you have seen a little 9-inch display I have, which I use as a display for my Icon 7000. I do that as a way to, when I'm doing show and tell with that radio, it's nice to have a slightly larger, very portable display to take with you to show the front panel so people aren't squinting in a little large box. In any case, the other thing we're going to bring along to the Academy this year, in addition to the 7000, is my newest orange box. And basically it consists of a Flex 1500 and a Atom processor, which I think I've told you guys about. It's a Jetway NF9D 2550. And bolted to a metal plate and inverted inside of a seahorse case, which is a case like a Pelican. And in the top of the case, I have an AOC monitor. Their AOC is a manufacturer of TVs and monitors. And let me tell you, just Google AOC USB, like the interface USB, and the word monitor, and you will find there are two models. There's a 22-inch and a 16-inch model. I put the 16-inch model inside of the lid of this case, and I have a little wireless keyboard and a mouse that I can detach and put inside, and lo and behold, the whole station, oh, by the way, inside there's also a 20 ampere hour lead acid battery, but this whole thing is a QRP portable station ready to rock and roll, and it's kind of nifty and neat, so I'm very, very pleased with it, and I'm using it as a scanning receiver for some for projects for work, but this will also function as a PSK-31 MT-63 type portable station, or even a QRP phone or video or a QRP phone or CW station, and also as an IF for higher bands. So very, very cool stuff. As they say, cool beans. I'm really excited, and I'll be taking this to the academy in its, you know, semi-complete form this weekend, along with the Flex 5000 and then the 7000, IC7000. So we'll have a very nice little display for the scouts to mention the shipment to demonstrate. Next time we have a show and tell or something at Bayer, I'll bring the receiver with me. It's kind of nifty. And if you want to know what I'm working on related to that, you can Google USPTO and my name and the town where I live. You can figure that out from looking me up in QRZ. And you can pretty much figure out what's going on if you read through the tea leaves of that. And that's all in the public knowledge. But it's cool. It's very cool. So anyway, having fun in that domain space. Anybody else?
N2OEL timeout.
I wonder if he's going to come back. All right. Any other comments, questions, confusions, any topics? Okie dokie. All right, well, thank you very much, and it's been a pleasure. Nice evening tonight. Good luck in the VHF contest. I will try to be on 6 meters at least Saturday evening, a little bit. Saturday afternoon, say late afternoon after 3, and intermittently through the evening. And we'll see how that works. And God bless, and thank you again for participating in that tonight. And great questions, good topics, and good dialogue. So this is KTBAR W2 TTT off and clear. Bye-bye.